Welcome back to Logical with Ludmila, where we untangle the legal knots so that you don't have to. I'm Ludmila Malova, a U.S. qualified lawyer based in Dubai. In each episode, we break down complex law into clear, practical insights that you can actually use. In today's episode, we'll explore the legal framework surrounding pet ownership in the UAE and in Dubai in particular, and what you need to know to keep your pets protected under the law. So let's begin with Dubai and owning pets and pet ownership in Dubai specifically. So first of all, in the UAE and especially in Dubai, owning pets is entirely legal. Dubai, in fact, is steadily becoming one of the most pet-friendly cities in the region, with many communities offering green spaces, walking trails, and dedicated pet areas. Some examples of recent developments include, for example, Bark Park Dubai in Alawir, and it's a large off-leash dog park designed for playing, training, and socialization of your pets. And there's also Dubai Island Beach, which is the city's first dog beach with access to the sea and obstacle courses. And then there's a number of pet-friendly communities, such as JVC with abundant parks and walkways, the Springs, known for its green spaces and dog-friendly attitude. Dubai Hills Estate, which is a modern infrastructure with wide pet-accessible paths, and even Palm Jumeirah, the Golden Mile Park. Even long-standing communities are increasingly amending older policies to align with the city's evolving pet culture. And lease agreements, community HOA rules, and building management practices are being updated more often than before. So here I want to pause for a second, and that is anything to do with animals and owning pets and animals in the UAE is a legal topic in and of itself. And there's a lot more laws that are involved related to owning pets and having pets in the UAE. Now, the purpose of today's podcast is not to cover all these different aspects of pet ownership per se. And some examples would be exotic pet animals are not allowed. They're actually forbidden by specific laws. And then there's certain regulations about chipping animals, for example, with no specific laws that require them. But all that is not part of this discussion today. What we want to do today is to just focus more on the community aspect of having pets in Dubai specifically. And that is, if you live in, this is why I started out with the specific communities and just Dubai's overall spirit and temperature these days on owning pets. Those who might have been in Dubai as maybe as long as I have, maybe longer, would definitely note that the Dubai's own kind of temperature, if you will, has changed in terms of pet ownership. When I came here first, which was too many years ago back now, there was very, very few pets. You know, people mainly had cats, so indoors you wouldn't really see very many pets. Now you look around and it's basically every community seems to be quite pet friendly. So that being said, sometimes there may be misconceptions, maybe misrepresentations about which communities you can have pets and which communities you cannot have pets, and whether communities can restrict ownership of pets, and everything basically related to communities' ability to manage or restrict residents' ability to own or host pets. So that's kind of what today's podcast will be focused on, and this stems from a number of requests, queries we have received over the course of the last maybe year or 6 months about a few communities in Dubai that are that for one reason or another have become quite alarmed about the community's stance on their pet ownership. And so that's why it occurred to me that it would be helpful for us to take a step back and kind of examine what is Dubai's policy on pet ownership and what rights and laws pet owners have to basically protect themselves and protect their pets. And that's kind of the angle of today's conversation is what can pet owners do to protect themselves? How much do they need to expose their homes and their families to inspections of and interference from the community, from their neighbors, from the authorities, or from the landlords and management companies, and so on and so forth. So that's kind of, because that seems to have been quite a sensitive topic recently, affecting a lot of people. And the background to this is that, as I mentioned earlier, pets were not always, not necessarily welcomed in Dubai, but they were just not as common. And they were not common for a number of reasons. You didn't have as many back then people that have that would come to Dubai to make this their home for the long haul. So obviously they didn't really acquire pets. But the longer we stay here, the more this becomes our home. And obviously people have their families, and families, they have pets. And so pets are a lot more common. But what is happening, what we've sort of observed, is that certain communities have not really enforced or have not really acted on their anti-pet policies, and if they may or might not have had those policies. And so, and sort of along with that, there's this kind of overall embracement of pets as part of our community and part of our society. So a lot more people are taking pets or acquiring pets. And so there may be kind of a mismatch on the one hand. There's a lot more pets. On the other hand, from a legal standpoint, the communities have not really reviewed the rules about pet ownership in certain communities. And so now kind of there seem to be a bit of a tipping point where in some communities, the ownership of pets has become so prominent that all of a sudden somebody else in the community thinks, hey, hang on a second, maybe we have some rules in the community that that prohibit pets. And so, but at this point, it's a little bit too late, because so many other residents in the same community might have had pets and might have had pets for so many years living in that same community. So this is kind of where the tension we have observed recently, and on behalf of a few of our sort of clients and queries we've received. So that's why I thought it would be healthy for us to look at it more from a legal standpoint, what pet owners should really be concerned about, what they should not be concerned about, what they should know about, what rights they have to defend themselves, and equally so what other members of the community should know in the event they want to, for example, enforce some of these policies, anti-pet policies. So from a legal standpoint, let me kind of start with one, because that sort of sets the color to much of the discussion, and that is that animals in the UAE are protected by law. Okay, so this is, and the law I'm talking about, this is a federal law. It's not just the Dubai law. And so, in fact, it's protected by law, which means that so there's a specific law, which is the criminal law, and that's the federal decree law number 31 of 2021, which is the UAE sort of penal code, which clearly penalizes certain offenses against animals. So, for example, there's Article 472 in the penal code, which criminalizes the mistreatment, abuse, or neglect of pets or animals in one's care. And it's punishable by fines of up to 5,000 dirhams. So that's Article 472. And then there's Article 473, which penalizes causing injury to another person's animal, even if unintentional. And fines in those kinds of cases can range from 3,000 dirhams to 10,000 dirhams if the animal dies. So these criminal provisions in the UAE criminal law, which reflects the UAE's broader commitment to animal welfare, promoting responsible pet ownership while penalizing cruelty. So this is not to be underestimated, because since this is the federal law, which applies to the rest of the country or all of the country, so just a reminder how the law and the legal system looks at the rights of animals. It's not just a civil punishment or compensation for hurting a pet. It's a criminal offense, and therefore it's penalized under the criminal law. So this is important, and this should be the backdrop of just kind of understanding what the country's position is on pets in general, or animals in general in the UAE, and that is to protect them. As I mentioned earlier, okay, so that's the overall at a federal level in terms of just the pet rights, if you will, or the protection of animal rights. But separately, sort of at a more private level, at a contractual level, there are certain communities, certain buildings and residential communities, which may have adopted or in the past or may want to adopt now, sort of internal rules regarding pets. This is not an Emirate-based policy, and from what I know, there is no such Emirate-based policy anywhere in the UAE, in no other Emirate. And certainly there is no Emirate-based policy which prevents ownership of pets in residential communities. So therefore, if you live in a community where you're being told or you see in the rules that this is a pet-free community, then it's important to highlight that these are sort of private community rules. They're not public law. So they're not regulated by law, they're regulated by contract. So therefore, if anything, if you do decide to have a pet against the community rules, it's not a criminal offense. It's not necessarily a legal issue. It's basically, in a way, like a breach of community rules, which is then managed under other civil laws. So while residents are expected, obviously, to comply with their building's terms, violating pets restriction is not, as I said, a criminal offense. And this is, this is a very important distinction. And that means that enforcement is handled internally by management or the owner's committee. And violations may result in fines or notices by the committee or by the owner's committee, for example, or by the management company. But it cannot lead to necessarily legal action or criminal charges. So this is very important. So in other words, if you have a pet in the community and you know you're not allowed to have a pet, you should not be expecting or should not be afraid that necessarily that you'll get a visit by the police and somehow have criminal charges pressed against you. And that's because in order to call the police, you need to have broken the law, right? You need to have broken some sort of a criminal law, not just a civil law. And so in owning pets, because owning pets, as I mentioned earlier, is not illegal. And in fact, animal welfare is protected by the same federal law, the criminal law. So therefore, the police cannot get involved in you just owning a pet, right? So that's why you will not be faced with criminal prosecutions and even legal action. There isn't really a legal action. It's not like the community or the management company or management community can file a case against you for owning pets. They can impose, however, a fine as per the community rules, if it's provided in the community rules. That too is not arbitrary. There has to be something in community rules that clearly states, let's say, if it's a pet-free community, then if you own a pet, then there's some sort of a fine for violating community rules. And then the payment of fines can be then enforced through the courts, and equally so, if the community wants you to move out and you don't move out, that will also have to be enforced through the courts. But it's civil courts. Again, it's civil courts. It's not criminal courts. So that means that also that even the external authorities such as the police, as I said, and Dubai municipality, they should not be involved in enforcing these rules. It's so there is, if you wanted to kind of visually imagine it, it starts with with you and then the management company that sort of oversees the specific community, and that management company is basing its decisions and policies on the basis of the community rules. So there has to be something in the community rules that specifically either states that pets are not allowed, and or the penalties that are involved if there's a breach of those community rules. And then on the basis of those rules, the management company then will notify the residents, either imposing a penalty and asking them to pay for a fine, and or asking them to move out because it's sort of against owning the pet is against the community rules, or just get rid of the pet. What they can do is just notify. They cannot, again, there is no authority for the police to get involved. There's no authority for Dubai municipality to get involved only because you own a pet. So obviously, if there's some kind of nuisance or some sort of public disorder that is caused as a result of pet ownership, for example, an abandoned pet that's stuck in the apartment and barking or yelping all night long, and so that kind of disturbs the community, that's when the authorities can get involved. But just because you own a pet in your house, that's outside of the jurisdiction of the police or even Dubai municipality. So this is important to remember, because we have had reports and firsthand accounts where residents were notified by certain representatives of certain management companies that, well, if you know you have a pet and that's against the community rules, we're going to we've reported you to the municipality or part of the police, and people panic because they expect you know a knock on the door from the municipality from the Dubai police. Now that's not how it works. So the only circumstance under which any one of those government entities or authorities can get involved if there is some kind of a breach of law, which would be, for example, some public discord or if there's somebody harm to the animal that's being caused, like an abandoned animal on the balcony, things like that. So, but not just because you own a pet at home. So, so this is what the management is, if you kind of follow my process in terms of what rights exist for both or options exist for both sides of both parties, your management company and pet owners, is that then they have to make sure that there's something in the community rules that specifically prevents owning a pet, and what the protocol is in the rules in terms of how you notify the residents who own pets against the community rules, right? And so there's a protocol, and if ultimately the resident does not comply with the notice, which must be based, again, on specific community rules, not just sort of arbitrary, that's when the management company or the landlord in that case may then file a case, and that would be at RDC, because the Rental Dispute Center, because that's the court that's in charge of any kind of tenancy-related matters or community matters. And so that's when then management company or the landlord, for example, could file a case against the resident and requesting for them to evict the community because it's violating community rules. So that's sort of the process. And then until such time, you don't need to worry just because you own a pet, even if you know that it's against the community rules. You don't need to worry just about the authorities sort of showing up on your door and somehow asking you to either give up your pet or to move out right there on the spot. And this, by the way, is quite interesting because, you'd think I've heard this firsthand, and this is why I thought it would be relevant to have this discussion, is that I've heard from residents who truly believe that because they heard from the management company or from other neighbors in the community who were against them having pets that, yes, they've reported on the police, they've reported on the municipality, and these people truly were panicking, believing that they were afraid to go to sleep at night. They're believing that the police can show up or the municipality can show up and take away their pets. I mean, think about it. I mean, it's on the one hand, it's a little bit of kind of a disbelief. I mean, can people really believe that? But on the other hand, if you are a pet owner, you have a thing for pets. You love pets, and they become part of your family. So, when you hear these kinds of statements that somebody's going to come and because they've reported your pets to some authority, I mean, you can't help as at a human level, but can internalize it and worry and perhaps irrationally sort of worry about this being an actual possibility. The point of this is not to mock the people who feel that, but rather use it as an example to illustrate how real an issue it is, how real, how actual, how emotional it is for pet owners when they are confronted with these kinds of statements and accusations and allegations and threats. So this is no joke. And for a lot of people, again, pets, they're animals. So these are adult people, very intelligent, professional people who I've personally heard from directly, who were so concerned that somebody would come at night and they would take away their pets, and they were basically in the process of trying to hide their pets. So the point of this comment is just to appease everybody, to put their fears to rest, and that is not the case. It's not part of the legal framework of Dubai. It's the opposite, and this is why I started with what I started, which is from just at the legal standpoint, there is at a federal level, there are laws to protect animals, and one, and then two, at a kind of at an emirate level, Dubai has been very welcoming and very evolving, rapidly evolving in terms of welcoming pets as part of our community. And that's why there's these parks and these public spaces that are being increasingly open and expanded to welcome pets further. And it's important to keep these two kind of elements in mind for the pet owners who are going through this kind of emotional turmoil, worrying that something is going to have to happen to their pets because they may have pets against the community rules. Which basically means, so if you know the meta, if somebody or community has pets that it discovers having pets against the community rules, the specific protocol that which they can follow. So it's like they can file a complaint through the Dubai REST app, for example, and under the oversight of RERA, which is a regulatory agency in Dubai, and that's ultimately the ultimate dispute would be resolved by the Rent Dispute Settlement Center, which is, as I mentioned earlier, is kind of our rental court or our jointly owned property matters court. So it started out just as rental court, but now it deals with all issues related to jointly owned property or communities. So that's basically the sort of the lawful pathway for management companies or for the neighbors or owners of communities or properties within the community. That's the lawful pathway for them to address issues related to pets if they either believe or they know that owning pets in those communities is against the community rules. So that's from the perspective of the community. Now let me kind of look at it from a different angle, and that is from the perspective of tenant and landlord relationship. So because in some cases, a tenant may have pets in violation of the lease agreement. So it could be that that the community itself does not ban pets or does not prohibit pets, but the agreement itself, the lease agreement itself, states that this is a pet-free home and no pets are allowed. That's a contractual breach. Again, this is not criminal. It's not subject for jurisdiction of the police or by municipality. It's basically between the tenant and the landlord. So it falls under the Dubai rental laws and the Dubai rental courts in terms of resolving this dispute. So, which means that then it's very similar to, for example, a tenant. In a similar situation, a tenant who's not paying rent, or they have more people living in the house than they're supposed to, or for example, in the lease it says it's a smoke-free house, and then the landlord finds out that the tenant smokes, and so on and so forth. So it's basically what it relates to in that particular case is a breach of contract or breach of a term in the lease that gives the landlord grounds to either seek the remedies or ultimately eviction. But even in those cases, and by the way, this is important because even in those cases, let's say between the landlord and the landlord finds out that the tenant has a pet or multiple pets, and that clearly states that there's a clearly sort of against a very specific express term in the lease agreement. Even in that case, the landlord cannot just knock on the door and say, hey, you have to move out, or you have to, well, I'm going to take your pets away, or you have to get rid of your pets. So there is a legal pathway for a proper lawful pathway for the landlords to address his or her rights in that situation. And many have heard what the protocol is in such cases for eviction cases, but in a different context, not on the basis of, for example, owning pets, but it's very much the same law that applies. And that is if there isn't a breach of lease agreement or some term in the lease agreement, then what can the tenant do? What are the rights of the landlord? The landlord has to submit a formal legal notice, and that's, by the way, it's all of this is governed by the Dubai Law Number 26 of 2007, which was amended by Law Number 33 of 2008, and that's called, generally speaking, the Dubai sort of landlord or landlord and tenant law. And so as per this law, and it applies in a similar, in much the same way as it does, for example, for other evictions or rent increase and such, is that if the tenant breaches the lease, then the landlord has the option or is required to first provide the tenant with a formal legal notice through the notary public. So notifying the tenant of a specific lease violation, right? It cannot be general because otherwise that kind of legal notice is void if it's not specific. So you have to specifically, let's say in this particular case, it would have to say, this is your 30-day notice because you're violating such and such provision of the lease agreement. So it has to be a formal notice through the notary public, specifically mention the reason for the notice, and more importantly, give 30 days to remedy the breach. So it's not an eviction notice per se. It's not like, here's your 30 days, you have to move out because you've breached the law. No. Or breach the contract. No, it's 30 days for you to remedy your breach. Okay, so which means, so within these 30 days, if the tenant sees that the landlord is serious and this is kind of moving in that direction, then the tenant can either move out or can decide to find alternative arrangements for its pets or their pets and move them out of the apartment. So just because they've breached it once does not give the landlord grounds to evict. So even in that case, the tenant has 30 days to ultimately rectify the breach and find alternative arrangements for the pet. So now if the tenant does not rectify the situation within 30 days, that's when the landlord now has a case for eviction. And then it has to file a formal eviction case with RDC, much the same way as they would file if they wanted to evict for non-payment of rent or for non-renewal of a lease or for eviction on some other ground. So this is why I kind of wanted to highlight this, is the process, the laws and the process are all the same in the tenant-landlord context as they would apply in much more common situations that we hear about. Where landlords want to increase rent, or they want tenants to leave terminate the lease or evict earlier. So it's the same laws, same process, which means that just because the landlord found out that the tenant is now having a pet against a specific term in the lease does not give the tenant, the landlord, the right to come into the apartment and either seize the animal or, even worse, to just kick out the tenant, which, by the way, again, as perhaps as simple as it may sound, it isn't so for a lot of people who find themselves in these situations, because we have heard firsthand from people who found themselves in similar situations, and they sincerely worried that either their pets were at risk, and this is in the landlord-tenant situation, or that somehow they were at risk themselves because the police would come and would throw them in jail because they have a pet, or that they would have no other choice but move out or lose this leased property. So, as I said, there is still a way. First of all, there's a very specific legal protocol, one, and then two, there's still 30 days to remedy the breach. And only if the tenant does not remedy the breach and the landlord files a case at RDC and then wins that case, because also just filing the case does not mean that the landlord is going to win, because there is, although maybe from a legal standpoint, the argument is clear, but it also needs to be pled correctly to the judge to have the order be reflective of the landlord's wishes. So in not every case that's filed, even kind of a black and white case that's filed by a party necessarily is a winning case if it's not argued correctly. So there's a lot of different stages before that particular court order becomes enforceable. And even then, once you, if the landlord won, and I'm going a little above and beyond the pet aspect of it is a little more of a rental law sort of summary or refresher. But even then, even if you have a final court order, it has to be final before it's enforceable. And even when it is final, you cannot just, with that piece of paper, you cannot, the landlord, that is, cannot just go and knock on the tenant's door and say, get out or remove your pet. It has to be done with the help of the authorities. And that, in that case, that's when the police gets involved. So it's one, once you have a final court order, and on the back of that court order, you file enforcement proceedings. And then on the back of those enforcement proceedings, that's when then the landlord would engage the help of the police to come and help remove the tenant. So you see, that's the process in the event you or you are the tenant and you find yourself in violation of a lease agreement on the grounds that you own a pet, contrary to a specific term in the lease. So that's basically on the landlord-tenant front. Now, we've talked about kind of general at a community level and what sort of the right remedies are. So another thing I wanted to sort of bolster that specific point, because we've had these concerns aired a little too acutely, and that is residents of certain communities were notified, or they thought that they were notified, or they heard. Sometimes they hear it directly, sometimes they hear it through the grapevine. Sometimes it's very difficult to figure out, you know, what sort of led to this kind of panic or what concern is it, but that they will have, there'll be like a home inspection. Somebody's going to come and check to see if they have pets. And so that's what they worry about. Oh my goodness, you know, I do have a pet, and now somebody's going to come and knock on my door and inspect my property. Oh, you know, I'm panicking. All too real, happens a lot more commonly than one might think. And here again, I want to highlight that there is nobody has the right to come and inspect your property unless they go through this formal protocol and the pathway that I just described, which is basically a final court order and then enforcement proceedings, and that's when the authorities get involved through this enforcement proceedings. Unless there is that kind of a protocol that had been followed, and then no one else has the ability to just come and inspect your properties. Or as I said before, unless there is an abandoned pet and that sort of suffering pet and they're screaming and yelling, yelping on the balcony. And there's then yes, sometimes the municipality can be involved because there's a disturbance of the peace. But apart from that, like, nobody else can come and knock on the door and say, we want to come in and inspect your home for pets. And so, you know, and by the way, there's more to it. So just generally speaking, like, entering to private residence must be based on the legal authority, as I said, and this applies to, you know, everybody, building security, building management, and even public officials. So I gave her an example of the police. You know, when the police gets involved, it's on the back of the legal authority being the judgment. And then for the building security or building management, equally so, they cannot, if you don't let them come into the apartment, they cannot, or the house or the villa, they cannot force themselves out, because that is illegal. So for them to force themselves into your house without your permission, that is what's illegal. In fact, and there are specific rules and laws in the UAE law that penalize that kind of action. So it's not for you not opening up the door, but it's them trying to sort of force the entry against your will. So, and that is governed under a number of laws, one of which is the same UAE penal code that we discussed before in the context of protection against animal cruelty. So it's the same penal code, and it's, you know, once again, Article 474. So and it states that unauthorized entry into a residence is considered a trespass. So it's punishable by up to 1 year imprisonment or a fine of 10,000 dirhams. So which means what? So let's say you do have a pet and somebody complained against you, some neighbor complained, and security management or building security and management company, somebody comes and knocks on the door and says, we need to come into your place. So you know, I'm not going to let you in. And they, let's say, force them the way in or will basically threaten you and say, no, we have the right to let us in or else you, which happens, I've seen, I've heard. So in that case, that too, even if ultimately you let them in under threat, that could also qualify as trespass and therefore punishable against them, not against you, but against them. And this is against criminal law, and once, you know, so because that's governed by the UAE criminal law, and that is punishable, their forceful entry into your place, not just physical entry, but also psychological entry, can lead to a charge of trespass and therefore a penalty of 1 year imprisonment or a fine of 10,000 dirhams. So also there's the criminal procedures law, and that is, so it's different from the penal code, and that's Federal Decree Law number 38 of 2022. And there are at least two articles sort of that relate to this discussion. That's Article 3, basically, that limits home entry to circumstances supported by a court order. So a specific in the criminal procedure law says that only those can come in and to sort of force their way into a home, somebody else's private home, upon a court order. So upon legal authority, legal document that we discussed before. So this is specifically mandated by a provision in the criminal law, federal criminal law. So it applies equally across all emirates. So this is very important to kind of highlight, and I hope that it gives some peace and confidence and comfort to all those owners or residents, occupants who have worried and kind of worried that they may have to allow somebody entry into their house to inspect. So also under Article 54 of that same criminal procedures law, which is, again, Law 38 of 2022, so there's a requirement of a written warrant from public prosecution for any lawful search. So, I mean, again, if, let's say, building management, some representative of the building management company says, I want to come into your home and I want to check to see if you have a pet, and you say, I don't have a pet, like, no, we want to search your home because... Okay, so that would be a search. And so for that, by law, they require a search warrant. So a written warrant that's issued by the public prosecution, not some document that's, you know, issued from the back office of the management company. So that's the criminal procedure law. And then there's obviously the Dubai Law number 26 of 2007, which is the landlord-tenant law. And in particular, Article 17, that prohibits management from interfering with tenants' right to enjoy the property. So a management company that's coming and knocking on the door or basically kind of harassing residents and you know, make them feel like they're being sort of watched because they have a pet, that would potentially constitute encroachment on occupants' enjoyment of the property and therefore in violation of the landlord-tenant law. And so in that case, a tenant has the ability or the right to file a case against the management company or the landlord or even a neighbor if that's happening. And then also under Article 34, it also offers protection from harassment or undue interference by landlords or building representatives. So a specific provision in the law that clearly states that as an occupant of the property, or be it as an owner or a tenant, there's neither management company, no building sort of security, no landlords have the right to harass you in your property or interfere with your enjoyment and overall living in your home. So therefore, any attempt to inspect a residence, private residence for pets without legal authorization, being a court order or a search warrant, may amount to trespass or harassment under the UAE law. And that's really important to, from a legal standpoint, to have these tools, to know, to have this understanding, to have these tools, to know that a lot of the time, much of these concerns and anxiety is not warranted from a legal standpoint. So kind of in summary, like what can residents do in such cases? Yeah, I've sort of mentioned some of it already, but residents generally, residents who are facing threats and fines or inspection related to pet ownership have several channels of recourse. You know, one is they can file a complaint via MOLAC, which is the Dubai Rest app system, and it's the official system under the RERA umbrella for community management issues. So they can file a complaint, and that complaint can be against either the board of the association or the management company itself, or even against the landlord, you know, if their rights are being violated, for example. And then that so there is a complaint via MOLAC, and that's part of the Dubai Rest app. And that's where you sort of register your formal complaints. Or you can file an actual case with the RDC, the Rent Dispute Center. And that's particularly, for example, if there are fines that are being imposed against you, or warnings or eviction threats, either made by the landlord or by the management company. So your ultimate recourse and the other side's recourse is through the RDC or the Rent Dispute Center. And then along the way, just always make sure to document all your communications carefully, because ultimately that's what it's going to come down to. So any sort of threats or kind of notices or attempted inspections, make sure you document it. So now that perhaps warrants a little more discussion, because often people are communicating these days, especially in cases like this. It's oral discussions or it's audio calls or some certain WhatsApp messages. So make sure that if you find yourself in a situation and you may potentially want to seek recourse, legal recourse, to protect yourself, so then make sure that you accumulate all this evidence and do it in the way that you can later present and rely on at RDC, for example, which means that if they send you messages, the audio call or speak with you, you just make sure to memorialize it. Best way to do it is by email, but you can also do it WhatsApp. And you can memorialize that these are the threats that they made, And the best way, obviously, is the email, because there's an official email address who you can link to the person who's making these threats with phone numbers and WhatsApps. You're going to have to be careful, because sometimes it's somebody's WhatsApp number that's not necessarily related to the building management company. So it's a private WhatsApp. So make sure you always kind of take it more above to the formal level, that is the management company itself and whoever the representatives are. So kind of take it out of the hands of one individual and take it up to the formal level of the management of that specific management company, and document that such and such came to you and they threatened you, or they wanted to seek entry into your apartment, and or they threatened you with this and this and that. And so document. Once you do that, that will first of all help you in the long run to rely on in the event there's this ever leads to a dispute. But more importantly, it acts kind of preventively in many cases, because people allow themselves a lot more liberties when it's in the audio format, right? When it's in person, in audio formats. But there are a lot more, especially matters like this, they're a lot more cautious to put it in writing. So you take that control out of them and you document it. And once you start documenting that such and such came and, for example, threatened you or demanded that you let them inspect the property, then once it's in writing and it's addressed to the right people, the temperature often changes. And all of a sudden, there's, if anything, there's a lot of backpedaling that goes on, and I know this because I've seen it firsthand. We've dealt with these kinds of matters, and the often the representative's management company they react quite promptly on that, trying to sort of backpedal their way out of this, because they know from a legal standpoint, as I've just narrated, this is not the proper legal recourse. And obviously, in all other cases, if you find yourself, seek legal advice. That's, you know, always should be something that you do first, before you decide to move out, before you decide to hide your pets, before you decide you panic and seek more sort of more serious actions. Just seek legal advice, and that's, you know, because if with the proper legal advice, they'll assuage your fears and your concerns and will advise you of your legal rights. And obviously, information is power. So, in conclusion and in summary, so owning pets in the UAE and in Dubai in particular is legal. And the city is becoming increasingly pet inclusive. Animals are protected under the UAE law and cruelty is criminalized. Private community rules regarding pets are internal and must be enforced through proper civil channels, not through coercion or inspection. Landlords must follow formal eviction procedures if lease terms are violated, starting with the legal notice and only escalating to RDC when required. Unauthorized entry into residences is unlawful, regardless of internal building policies. And residents have clear rights and options, including filing complaints through the Dubai REST, MOLAC, and RDC. That's all for this episode of Logical with Ludmila. If you found this episode useful and you like what we do, you can always find us on our website at lylawyers.com. We are also on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. And for the full experience, you can watch our video podcast on YouTube. Until next time, stay informed, stay safe, and keep things logical.